Welcome to Behind the Headlines, your daily roundup of some of the stories that our reporters have been covering right across the country. This is the place where we try and bring you some of those more talkable issues, maybe give them a bit more airtime than we can usually fit into our hourly news bulletins as well. And in today's episode, we're with the fastest pizza maker in the UK.
Pizza maker, are you ready?
Yeah.
Ready, set, begin.
And now I'm not really joking about this one. Someone's written a song about potholes.
Cruising down the old town street, dodging bumps beneath my feet.
Catchy, very catchy, that one. But first, and we start with a story that's made news headlines today, and it's all about cosmetic treatments. There's a push to tighten the rules around who can carry out complex cosmetic treatments like Botox and fillers. The government wants to ban under 18s from getting the procedures too and make sure only qualified medical staff can do higher risk work like BBLs. Our reporter Jessica Payne's at a hospital in Bristol.
Going under the knife for that dream body can be deadly, with dangerous surgery carried out by unqualified practitioners carrying the risk of sepsis and organ damage. NHS surgeon Umraz Khan is all too familiar with the consequences.
Almost every week in a tabloid, there is a horror story. In this trust, we have treated cosmetic tourist patients who've been to countries abroad and then returned only to get a complication.
Health Minister Karen Smith says regulation will save lives.
I'm speaking here from Southmead Hospital, where the NHS see the results of some of that terrible disfigurement that can happen. So we are going to regulate, we're going to work with the industry to make that happen, we're going to make it safe for consumers.
Staff here at Southmead are urging patients to check their providers' qualifications and avoid treatments that appear suspiciously cheap.
Well, we've also spoken to someone with first-hand experience of complications. Janet Taylor's from Bolton. Her daughter was told that she may have to have her leg amputated following complications from BBL injections. She's been speaking to our senior reporter, Olivia Davis.
She saw the celebrities advertising it, advocating it, had the backing. It was painless. It was done by trained professionals and it roped her in. And I think it roped her in as well because of the social media advertising as well. There's a lot of glamour about it.
I think the thing with this one, obviously, we're hearing more now about these liquid BBLs.
Yeah.
Because obviously we hear how invasive and how dangerous the non-BBL operations are. So you're lured in kind of thinking, oh, it's a liquid BBL. It sounds a bit safer, you know, like obviously and probably what exactly what Louise thought as well before she went for it. And that is just not the case, is it? It is still just as dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're all used to going to the dentist and having injections off a dentist. And there's quite a lot of facials that involve injections. So there's things like the Botox and the lip fillers, and they're all relatively safe to a point. So Louise was balancing her knowledge and the threat and that against the same thing. And it's advertised as pain-free, risk-free. And that's what she went with.
And what happened then afterwards? So she goes home. When does she realise that something's wrong and that, you know, she might need medical attention?
Louise found it difficult to walk when she got back. It was almost immediate. The pain was immediate when she had the injections. She became quite ill very, very quickly. Her buttock was black.
That's disgusting. And as a mother, to watch your daughter kind of go through this, you know, it's right to say she almost died. You must have felt so helpless as such that, you know, she was going through this and there was nothing you could feel like you could do.
Louise was dying. She actually rang me, and the first I heard about it was when she rang me to say that she rang to say goodbye. And it was because the infection was so bad, the surgeon couldn't tell her what he was going to cut off. He didn't know whether it was going to be flesh, muscle or a leg.
This next one is going to make you hungry. And one of our reporters took a somewhat special lunch break today at a pizza restaurant in Essex. Last week, we told you about a man from Colchester who was named as the fastest pizza maker in the UK. Well, our reporter Martha Tipper has gone to see if Armin Sawota can beat his record of 1 minute 11 seconds.
Are you ready?
Yeah. Pizza maker, are you ready?
Yeah.
Ready, set, begin.
And that's the start of the clock. We're in Colchester Domino's and a man is once again proving just how quickly he can make three pizzas. Pepperoni, mushroom, then cheese.
Stop! Just 1 7.
Well done! How do you feel after that?
That's amazing, yeah. That was good, that was really good.
What's the key to doing well in this?
You have to do a lot of practice. You don't want to go too fast where you're making a lot of mistakes. Breathing, stay calm, make nice pizzas.
So how does it work? Do the pizzas actually get tested and tried after you've made them?
Absolutely, yeah. So we make 3 pizzas, and once they're done, we have a certain weight we have to follow. So for example, if my pizza was too heavy because I put too much cheese on, then add 15 seconds to my time.
Oh, wow, okay. So, and then do they get tasted afterwards?
They don't get tasted, and they don't get cooked.
And tell us a bit about the competition. So you had 20 heats.
We had 20 heats in 20 different locations all over UK and Ireland. And I believe there was about 350 or 340 people altogether which done the competition, and it took us down to the top 3. So top 3 have the rally in Liverpool, where I came first place.
The champions' next stop is the World Pizza Championship in Vegas next March.
Next, a story that's been a big one in bulletins today. And interest rates have fallen to their lowest level since March 2023. The Bank of England has cut the base rate from 4.25 to 4%. Speaking to us during a visit to South Wales this afternoon, the Chancellor Rachel Reeves says she thinks it shows the UK government's plan to fix the economy could be working.
So this is the 5th cut in interest rates now in just over a year since the Labour government came into power. And it reflects the fact that we've managed to return stability to the economy after the mismanagement and the dangerous economic policies of the Conservatives and Liz Truss. You know, if you're taking out a mortgage for £215,000, you'll be paying £140 less a month than you would have done on a variable rate a year ago. And there are 60,000 families just here in Wales on variable rate mortgages who will benefit not just from this cut in interest rates, but the 5 that we've had now in just over a year.
Well, as their tour continues, Oasis are going to play Murrayfield this week, 16 years after their last show at the venue, which made a rather lasting impression with its seismic activity. Our reporter Liv Thompson has more.
Oasis play their first night at Murrayfield tomorrow, 16 years after their last show at the venue. And it was a real shaker maker in 2009. According to the Edinburgh-based British Geological Survey, it's still the most powerful seismic concert at the stadium ever. Callum Harrison is one of their seismologists. He says it's possible they could break their own record.
These signals are generated by people jumping up and down. So the things that are going to affect the power of the signal are the weight of the crowd, so how many people show up to the concert, the average height that people are jumping, and also the speed at which they're jumping.
Well, I've been out speaking to excited fans at Edinburgh's Oasis-themed pop-up shop.
Yeah, first time, both of us, super excited.
Amazing.
I'm buzzing, I'm so excited for it.
Amazing. What song are you most looking forward to?
Oh, that's a tough one. I don't know. There's too many.
Whatever your favourite song, it's sure to be an electric few nights.
And how could I not bring you this story? It's amazing. Hope you're ready for an earworm. Our councillor has released a protest song about potholes. After getting fed up with asking governments for money to fix them, Conservative councillor Stuart Hughes was in charge of Devon's roads until the last election, which has the largest road network in England. He's now trying a different approach. Here you go. Here's a bit of the song.
Cruising down the old town street, dodging bumps beneath my feet.
I believe the single strikes a chord far beyond the borders of Devon, amplifying a serious concern at the chronic underfunding of local councils.
Smoothing the road, making it right.
You know, the track is more than just potholes. It's about pride, persistence, and the need for proper funding, because councils are patching Britain's roads, as I say, on shoestring budgets. And we hope this song helps drive the message home, and with that reggae rhythm and a rebel spirit. And that's what it's all about.
We're the heroes of the asphalt night. We're filling potholes all day long.
Well, since coming to power, the Labour government pledged to repair 1 million potholes a year in England. And you can find out more on these and other stories on the news pages of our website. Don't forget to come back here tomorrow. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or listen on the Rayo app. A new episode of Behind the Headlines is uploaded every weekday evening.